Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about molecular tour of adenosine. I had an injection of it into my cannula to get my heart pumping. So it's a bit like adrenaline, but it's sort of like the master stroke of coffee. Coffee is something similar to it, but it's the key molecule. And I don't know if you can track it up. It's pushing my poor little brain to memorize the periodic table, memorize songs, memorize molecules and stuff like that. It works to a certain point, and then when I see it, I say, "Oh, I know that molecule. I think I've done a podcast on it at some stage," and I just then go back and look at it, read it up, and to record it. And of course, my memory of molecules is just so poor, unfortunately. So, adenosine. Now, where is adenosine important? Well, it's sort of like the master molecule of all mammal, cells, because it's of ATP. So it's adenosine triphosphate, goes to diphosphate, goes to monophosphate, as it just juices out the energy. So it's basically battery holder of all molecules. It's got the purine ring, which means that it's a good molecule holder, and then it's got a hook for the batteries in the little sugar, and then it goes around putting up the energy of cells. But as I've said, I'm just going to try and give hypoallergenic to I'm sort of rather used to this, because someone had a little syringe of it and injected it into me. The doctors were looking at it and monitoring my heart rate on the ECGs. Checking everything was all okay with the ECGs first. And sure enough, it got my heart going up to where they wanted to. And when my heart went, it took radioactive technetium into my heart, and made my heart radioactive, made it full of gamma rays, enough to shine on the gamma ray camera. All very good for the name of science. So there you go, adenosine. So let's do the molecular tour of it. Firstly, I suppose I'll start off with the easier molecule, which is the ribose. So, is it ribose? Yeah. And glucose, lactose. You've got your standard disaccharides. The sugar that you eat is a disaccharide. It's got two rings, generally a six-member ring and a four-member ring. When I say a four-member ring, a five and six, I'm talking to the amount of carbons in them. So I generally am used to photosynthesis making a carbohydrate of it. So this is, every carbon used to have oxygen, CO2, now it's CH2O. It's the oxygen's been cast off and the water's been put in. It's taken energy to do it, sunlight energy to do it, and you've got oxygen and water. Just going to check on the time. Yeah, I've got heaps of time waiting for my daughter at Scouts outside McDonald's here in Penrith waiting for her. Okay, so your basic hydrocarbon is a chain of carbons, and each carbon's got a water hydrocarbon. And for this, you have ribose, so deoxide is a deoxyribonucleic acid. So the sugar is the same fundamental sugar of DNA. So it's sort of like, for each bit of DNA, you've got a sugar, a ribose sugar, but it's deoxide. So the little two things where you'd expect an OH, you've got an H and an OH on each molecule. It's there. Now, the sugar is a self-estered ring. So what sugar is, that is a hydroxide has been pushed off and a hydrogen's pushed off and an oxygen bond links, if you count it across, carbon number 2 and carbon number 5 has got an oxygen ester link, making a ring. So you have a ring of, you've got a carbon with hydrogen and oxygen, then it goes into the ring. The ring's got 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, and between 2 and 5, the last one is a oxygen ring. So it's a ring, a ribose's got a ring in it with 4 carbons and a hydrogen, an oxygen linking between 2 and 5. Now that fifth one clicks on to your purine molecule. So it's adenosine, which is right, and adenosine triphosphate is your stuff. We're not going to leave all phosphates off it. This is a no phosphate. This is adenosine. So it's adenosine, adenosine monophosphate, adenosine diphosphate, adenosine triphosphate. So it's A, AMP, ADP, ATP. So you go across. And this one is your sort of like the master sugar. Caffeine is something which looks a bit like sugar, and it's enough to get the heart going, fuck. Going really, really hard when you add some sugar. But adenosine triphosphate is another really interesting. So you've got the purine molecule. So purine is a 5- and 6-member ring with 4. So that would be 6 plus another 3. So normally you'd have, if it's just pure carbon, you'd have 9 carbons on, in a sort of double ring, double flat structure. So it's a flat flat pentagon and a flat hexagon. Now we've got the standard way. I haven't really thought this out. I've just sort of memorized the molecule. Sometimes I think of it off. But what you standardly do is it's a hexagon and a pentagon. So you put the hexagon flat with the flat bottom sitting down, and so you've got a flat bottom, an apex left and right, and above it you've got a flat again, and above that you form a little on the top of your hexagon you form a pentagon, and this is your purine molecule. So it's a ribose and purine. And what happens, let's just start off on your hexagon. I won't do the pentagon at the top. Because it's a pentagon, it's so symmetric and it really doesn't matter. I'm just going to say that the ones at the very top, the roof, the roof of your hexagon, your pentagon, is a carbon. But on the gutters of your roof, of your little house on top of the hexagon, it's 2 nitrogens. And 2 nitrogens, left and right. The left nitrogen hooks up to carbon number 5. So it's a hydrogen's cast off, and there's a bond, so it's connected to the, instead of being bonded to a hydrogen, I think that's right. I'll just check that. I've got the actual molecule here, so I can check whether I'm giving you spoofy shit. Oh yeah, spoofy shit. Instead of being connected to an OH, the OH is off, so the nitrogen would have a hydrogen, and the OH would have a would be an OH there on the ribose. The OH is cast off, the hydrogen's cast off, and so the water's removed, and it's the ribose connected to the top of the purine, that ring. Then you have a number of then you've got the bottom of the ring, and for that we have got our hexagon,
which I'm just going to check here. Yeah, the hexagon. Yeah, that's right.
You've got your hexagon sitting in front of you, there. So you've got the hexagon and the pentagon. The pentagon's on top, the hexagon's underneath. So the hexagon has two carbons on its roof. Then towards the left, going left, you've got a nitrogen. Then on the base of your hexagon, where it's hitting the floor, you've got a carbon. Then another nitrogen. And then up from the nitrogen on the sort of the apex pointing out to the right, you have a carbon, and that hooks back to another carbon at the underneath. But on that carbon, you have an NH2, a nitride, and that's all it is to make the actual molecule. Check I'm going for time. Yeah, I'm going to have to go and see my daughter soon. And so that's your molecular tour of it. I suppose what I find sort of interesting is that the pyrene is sort of a nitrogenous, so there's a lot of extra charge. So the hydrogens have been pushed into the carbon to form a nitrogen, but it's still a flat ring, a P-shell shape, so it's flat, and it's sort of metallic, but the nitrogens are not very electrophilic. They don't like electrons very much, and so your phosphates are very strong electrons. This is not the, it's your phosphates are dragging electrons. The electrons get pulled away. So the ATP, the pyrene, is your positive terminal of your battery there, and the negative. So it is actually, if you can think, the carbon is almost sort of like this form of positive electron repulsive graphite. It's graphite which doesn't like a little bit of graphite up there. That's how it operates. And what happens is this adenosine is something that gets the mitochondria. So the mitochondria to operate, the mitochondria produces ATP. So and when the mitochondria produces heaps of ATP, that's all it does. It mitochondria charges up ATP. And so what happens is that evidently it will have a lot of phosphates. When the ATP molecule docks in, it just goes overboard and produces heaps of ATP. Producing heaps of ATP gets your muscles going like bejesus. So you can just inject this in, and it will sort of, it's more direct than any sugar. So they can actually switch it off immediately. So what happened is when he said, "Oh, that's enough," my heart went bum 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 bum, like that, like quite literally, you could almost see it go bum, 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 on the machine. And then the next moment he stopped it, within a heartbeat it dropped down. It was pretty amazing to see. So that's adenosine, and it sort of stimulated me to go back and do those horrible molecular tours again of the DNA molecule. I might do a molecular tour of DNA. Very worthwhile doing molecular tours, because it gives you sort of an insight not only to the molecule, but you know where the atoms are structured and the actual shape of things. So even ribose is so small, it's sort of, ribose is definitely a twisted molecule, but it's not a flexible molecule. It's so small and tight. There's not a lot of vibration allowed. If it's a big loose chain, it can wobble and flex, but ribose is really tight sugar. It's the most it's so small, it's almost inedible. People use up sugar, so eventually I suppose you can start eating your own DNA if you're really hungry. Well, thanks a lot for listening, and I'll go back. It really is an epic battle to slowly claw back cognitive capacity. It might seem great that I can remember these things, but I'm on my side, and I can definitely feel the extreme fatigue of just punching away at these exercises. Thanks a lot for listening.
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.